This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And jumping right in on the phone with us today, actually not on the phone, via Teams, we're using technology straight from Florida, Jeff Reynolds, who is senior editor at restoration-news.com, senior investigative researcher for Restoration of America, Florida man, former Oregonian. Jeff, how are you?
I am great. We're going to set some temperature records down here the next couple of days. It's going to be about 80 degrees here.
I have snow. The problem with Teams is we get to actually see the blue sky in his background.
I know. He's outside, right, rubbing it in, walking around.
Absolutely. It's like, oh. Look at that big yellow ball right there.
Look at you. And I know you're a proud new goat papa. I saw the pictures. They're so cute.
Yeah, we got two new baby goats and a couple more on the way. We got one more pregnant doe that's about to pop anytime. So
nice.
And they are absolutely adorable.
They're so cute, absolutely cute. I'm still kind of tempted, but then we are doing ducks. Well, in April, we get three ducks coming. So
okay, we've got the chickens and the turkeys and the rabbits too. So
we have plenty of
protein sources.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
While we're on the the animal train, we can always say, IP-28, if it comes to reality in the state of Oregon, what you've done now is illegal, Jeff.
Well, that's right. And
Thank goodness he's in Florida.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's like that billionaire's tax that Gavin Newsom wants to implement, and retroactively apply it to people that leave the state. I'm like, maybe Kotech will do that with the hunting and the farming, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know a Democrat that didn't want to tax the living bejesus out of everybody. I mean, just look at what's happening in New York with Mom Donnie, I'm going to freeze your rent for you and make everything free. Oops, no, I'm not. I'm going to raise your taxes by 9.5%. Sorry.
Yeah, he's out there a month and a half into his regime saying that they have to raid the reserve fund and the rainy day fund and
the retirement.
Their proposed, Ron DeSantis put this out yesterday or the day before, their proposed budget for the city of New York is like $127 billion.
Yeah.
The entire budget for the state of Florida is $117 billion. With four times the number of people living here.
Yeah. Progressives are just so progressive. Come on.
Well, the only thing that could top that is Mayor Katie Wilson of Seattle did her State of the City address, and there were mic problems and teleprompter issues.
To be fair, the Wi-Fi isn't that great in her mother's basement where she lives.
Right. They need to get Starlink, clearly. Oh, wait, nope, that's Elon. Can't do that.
Well, it even went beyond that, because my understanding is they sent out invitations to come and see the State of the City address without a time or date on them and had to resend all of them.
Oh, where's the, what is it, crazy Calliope music?
That's what representation gets you when you vote for equity, DEI instead of competence. This is what happens.
Yeah, the warmth of collectivism is really not that. It's really rather lukewarm. So, all right. So I just real quick before we go on to things, we're doing things a little differently on the show today because we've been mentioning that we're now streaming on all platforms, and we always say, an hour is never enough time. Mm-hmm. Don't we say that, Hunter? We say it all the time.
Well, we stole the line from the late, great Rush Limbaugh of the fastest hour in radio. I mean, it just flies.
Yeah, and especially when I come on. I mean, we can talk for days.
My show prep with you, Jeff, is always, I think I have three pages today, which is, that's a lot. And you have to think of those are just line items. So what we're doing and we're going to start doing, today's our inaugural. For those of you guys who don't listen to us live and you stream us, we're going to do an extra half an hour-ish. We can go heavy on the ish that way. Mm-hmm. After the show, we're going to dig into some more things. We have a little bit more freedom when we're doing that, just streaming-wise. And so we're going to kick that off today. So we're very excited about that.
So, Denise, just from a marketing standpoint, I would not use the tagline, "We could go heavy on the ish."
Oh, shoot, right. The sidewalks in New York?
Yeah, exactly. We might want to come up with something a little more appealing than that.
You know, you're right. Strike that, everybody. Never mind. We're gonna put our heads together. Now I have that image in my head. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, okay. My fault.
Yes, right. Not the progressive mayor of New York's fault. No.
Right.
Okay. So real quick, we want to make sure. Now I got this press release last night. My understanding is that the hearing on this is Senate Bill 1507 that it's wending its way through. It was scheduled for a public hearing yesterday at 3, but I think you have up to 48 hours that you can submit written testimony. I've got a press release from Senator Noah Robinson's office. Goodbye tax cuts. That's not a headline you want to see. Senate Bill 1507, this bill disconnects Oregonians from many of the landmark tax breaks afforded to taxpayers by the one big beautiful bill. While it does provide two modest tax credits that I have to, as a caveat, the D's are marketing that within an inch of their life, like this is a good thing. So just take that with a grain of salt. Two modest tax cuts in exchange. Its net effect is to collect for the state of Oregon huge taxes that were previously waived for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Oregonians got to get their grubby fingers on it. So what you know about Senate Bill 1507 disconnects Oregonians from the vehicle loan tax deduction granted to us by the Congress, takes away the personal income tax exclusion for gains from the exchange or sale of small business stock, withholds the ability for businesses to write off large percentages of assets cost immediately, creates a tax break for taxpayers who hire new employees, and increases Oregon's income tax credit for taxpayers with a dependent child under the age of 3. So it's obviously disguised to look good, like it's good. It's all smoke and mirrors with the D's. So I'm happy to send you this information if you're listening.
Yeah, I look at it and I sit there and go, yeah, of course they're marking as a tax credit for those with under a child under the age of 3. You know, oh, well, that really appeals to young families. And then, of course, tax breaks for hiring new employees, that's a good thing, but at the same time, it's probably taking away the federal version of that in order to kind of nix that one to what you'd be having now. But yeah, I look at these and I go, this is a direct assault on small business. The gains on the tax for stocks for sales and of small businesses, and I go, so what if I buy stock in Amazon or Walmart, I'm in good shape. But when I want to, protect mom and pa local.
Sounds like what happened in COVID. Walmart, Costco, the liquor stores, you can stay open. Mom and pop, not so much. Real quick before we move on, this act is going to give an estimated $340 million from the 2025 to 2027 tax years to the state that should remain in Oregonians' pocket. The credits proposed will only return an estimated sum of $30 million to Oregonians in those same tax years. That's less than 10% of what this bill would have taken out of the wallets of taxpayers. So fight for your tax breaks. You can go to OLIS, Oregon Legislative Information System, click on the icon that says SB 1507, register to testify. It takes 5 minutes. Do a sentence or two. You don't have to write a book. Make sure that you click that you're opposed and get that done.
Well,
get it done.
Yeah, man. I gotta ask, how much is enough for Oregon Democrats?
Right?
I mean, the size of the budget has increased, what, 40-something% in the last 4 years, something like that. I mean, it's an absurd spike in spending and what are we getting for it? As a former Oregonian, it used to frustrate me to no end that, I had to pay that much in taxes and get absolutely nothing out of it. But now...
and it's never enough.
And it's never enough. When's the last time they froze spending? Never mind cut it.
Yeah, well...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I just sit there and go, yeah, so definitely...
Are you mad? They never do that.
Well, definitely get your opinion heard on this one. But then let's also remember this come November, because guess what? We have a Democrat governor that's going to run for re-election under the guise of, I'm going to Trump-proof Oregon, including the good things Trump does for Oregonians. I'm going to Trump-proof free from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind November. We got a pretty big one coming up in May if they end up moving that gas tax to May like they want to.
Well, and it's looking like 12 Republican state senators did not show up for an afternoon floor session on Wednesday, so they did deny a quorum. This is all in, again, the D's wanting to put the tax bill on the May ballot and not November. And, you know, we're kind of talking about it as if they do that, if I'm thinking they have the votes to do it, and they clearly don't care about the will of Oregonian voters, at least maybe make some lemonade out of it, and it'll help with some of the nonpartisan critical city council and mayoral races that are happening. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but that means you got to turn out in May too. You got to vote in that primary. You got to get registered with a party so that you get a primary vote. And
this is where I want to see the Republican Party in Oregon going full steam ahead with outreach, public, you know, engaging people constantly. I want emails. Yeah. I want tweets. I want social media, radio appearances. Constantly, because it takes, how many times do you have to repeat a message before it sinks in? I don't know. There's a stat on that, though.
Yeah, no, it's same thing with political signs. There's a whole psychology behind how many signs you need to see before it actually registers in your brain. It's the same thing with a political message for somebody who's, you know, a suburban soccer mom or a dad working construction, you know, just trying to make ends meet and work to keep their food on their table. They're not paying attention to this stuff like we are. And it's really hard to get people to care about this stuff. And it has a direct effect on them. So we need to be out there educating as many voters as we can.
Amen. And that's the problem in the primary. A lot of people don't realize that these city council races, these school board races are nonpartisan. You do not have to be registered with the party. But I mean, we see Scott Pressler's out there constantly in the whole drive, the whole thing, and at Oregon Conservative Caucus as well, registering people as Republicans. That way you are for sure to be in the game. You will have skin in the game at that point if you are registered as a Republican.
Somebody needs to be out there doing that job.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
I'm seeing the OCC doing it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm seeing this, you know, the idea of moving it from November to May. One, of course, they don't want Tina Kotek to have to be on the same ballot as this monstrosity. Yeah. But if you have 70% turnout in the November election, and this thing goes down in flames at 80, 85, 90% of the people vote against it, then it makes it very hard to bring it back legislatively sometime down the road. If you get a 20% turnout and you only lose, you know, 55 or 60% voting against it, now all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, yeah, a portion of people didn't want it, but enough did that we really ought to reconsider this whole thing.
Yeah, doesn't take much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it would be a really hard lift. You know, all Ed Beal and Bruce Starr and Jason Williams would have to do as the chief petitioners of the last petition to get the gas tax on the ballot would be to say, look what they did. You know, we set a land speed record getting the number of signatures that we did in November and December. You think, and they're coming after you again, doubly hard. People are going to be even more angry than the first time.
Well, but
hope so.
But if they get through the election and they still have a supermajority and a governor, you know, that's their advantage.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Let's go ahead and take our first break. Again, we're chatting today with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, I don't know whether this is like a predominantly blue state issue. I don't think it is, but we're seeing a lot of videos of all these sort of weaponized middle school and high school kids. And I know, Hunter, you saw it, and I saw a video hit this morning. I don't know what, was it Oklahoma? Where was it?
It was North Carolina, I believe.
North Carolina, okay.
Where
the principal came out and basically said, yeah, not having it. You want to do this unexcused, you're all suspended.
Yeah,
well, and it just went... took the air right out of their little balloons.
So it started with about 200 kids walked out of school and then literally just mobbed across a very busy intersection.
Is that the same? I think this is two different.
No, that was right before they walked out across the street towards a Dunkin' Donuts. I thought they were just going to go get some donuts, but no, then they stopped on the berm right there holding up their signs and then started marching down this busy road in, you know, half of them in the street. And that's when the principal came out and went and, I don't know if it was a principal or counselor or somebody with the school came out and pretty much told him, you have the ability to return to class right now through this door, and if you don't, then we're going to get your names and you're going to be
suspended. Yeah, that's the one I saw. It was still on school, and it was the principal. Mm-hmm. And he basically said, you will all be suspended. And I'm seeing some more of that. And then, of course, there was also a video of some young girl, which we all knew was going to happen because what you just described, they just go running out. And again, we were all stupid at 15 years old and thought the world revolved around us. And clearly it doesn't. Hard lesson for this girl, though. So I'm hoping we see some lawsuits.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I think I have a solution to this problem. If the superintendent or the principal doesn't want to see, I mean, we do have the First Amendment, right? So people are able to express their opinions. And so what I would say is put a condition on it. If 80% of that school can read at grade level, then by all means, you have permission to protest. Until that's done, then the school actually hasn't done its job and the students haven't done their job. So get back to job one.
Yeah. And First Amendment. Yeah. You're in school. That's where you're supposed to be. And I know in Oregon and a lot of this stuff is happening in Washington. We've been talking about Enumclaw. I always want to go Enumclaw. I just like stop and like, how do I pronounce that?
Well,
like KL, there's weird stuff in Washington.
Yeah, it really kind of took off in Washington State.
Yeah.
There was one at Rainier High School in Seattle where two students got shot in a drive-by shooting. And then, of course, when the mayor addressed that one in her State of the City address, she referred to it as, well, they were waiting for the bus. Not that they were outside when they should have been in school. They were waiting for the bus. So she misdirected that one herself. Enumclaw.
Well, she's a democratic socialist, which means she automatically lies about everything.
Correct. As easy as breathing. And they love this stuff.
I think the video, I saw a video earlier today I believe it was in Enumclaw where kids were throwing rocks and things at cars as they went by. A driver got out of his car to confront them for throwing things at his car, got assaulted, bloody lips, bloody face. And then, of course, the video ends where he literally is talking at a teacher who's out there supporting this.
These teachers, we all know what happens to the teachers, right? In these color revolutions, we all remember, you know, doing our reading about Mao's color. Remember, it was the teachers, it was the intellectuals. Perhaps these teachers ought to pick up a book.
Mao Zedong talked about the four olds, the old ways, the old customs, the old people. Yeah, and so that's when so the students rose up against their teachers and either beat them to death or, you know, beat them into submission into, you know, accepting Mao's communism.
And, you know, everyone. I see this. Well, they're going to learn their lesson when all of this. And it's like, no, because even the hardcore over there, the students who did the beating, I believe it was a female teacher that was the first victim of this, where she was beaten. And the students who did it, they never repented, so to speak. It's like there no facts are going to change the mind of these people. These are street animals that have been created. You don't just rein them back in with threats of this is going to go on your permanent record.
Well,
no, they're not thinking that far.
No.
And they never do.
No.
They never think about that because they're 15. You know? So
exactly.
That's what the adults in the room are for, right?
Yep.
Well, I just sit here and go, and we're seeing, you know, that amped up level of violence. In 2020, the excuse was if we elect Joe Biden, the violence will stop. No, it just emboldens them and makes sure they know that they have all the power. I mean, last night, the Portland City Council had to shut down their meeting because a bunch of these ones that did this exact same thing in 2019, 2018, raided the city council chambers and wouldn't stop and literally shut down a whole meeting. And these were the people that support them doing this behavior.
Well, there are a bunch of people that are Democrat socialists on the council since they expanded it out and they packed the council.
Yeah, I have to wonder if they were invited by some of the council members.
That would not surprise me.
Right.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. And, you know, you think, oh, they're eating their own. It's like, no, I don't know. There's usually a method to the madness.
No, that's right. The chaos that they cause is part of the entire movement.
Right.
They're trying to destabilize society so that the tipping point occurs and the color revolution can then occur. And then they think they're going to win and take over the levers of power.
I'm seeing pushback on a lot of, we're not going to talk about this, but I mean, the congressman Fine about as far as Islam and dogs and things like that. So we're not going to dig into that because that doesn't have a local angle, so to speak. But people are pushing back. It's like, don't come for my dogs. Don't come for, when people start realizing what the ramifications are, they are pushing back, but I don't know if it's too little too late.
Yeah, I know you don't want to get deep into this, but let's remember that Congressman Fine was reacting to the fact that the Muslim call to prayer is now being heard on New York City streets, a mere 25 years after 9/11.
And I'm hearing that something's going to be happening right down in Times Square. And again, it's rude to block streets. I'm sorry, you don't do that, which is sending a message to everybody, the fact that they are doing that. It's a message people would be wise to hear because they're telling you who they are.
Well, and the you double it down that when you're in a blue area, a police response is very, very unlikely. I mean, they don't arrest these people. They don't get them out of the streets. They allow them to do what they're doing. And our police departments are handcuffed.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. A lot of people are waking up. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I was just going to say that communists and socialists have long, I mean, you know, for decades, I mean, this goes back to Marx himself, that they reject the, quote, carceral, unquote, reaction to crimes.
Yep.
They don't think that jail fixes anything.
Nope. All right. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour news. We are going to continue our conversation with Jeff Reynolds from Restoration News and cover some stories that he's covering. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. We are having our bi-monthly conversation with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. Mention this every time, but seriously, bookmark it. There's great, great content out there. And Jeff, you just published a story over here. Controversy widens over candidates' possible ties to CCP, which is the Chinese Communist Party. And again, this is a Texas story, but this has far-reaching ramifications. So I'm going to dive it over to you to dig into a little bit. This is a very well-researched, very in-depth article that is well worth the time to read.
Yeah, and I was working with our good friend Solomon Yu on this story, who alerted me to it and got me a couple of sources to talk to for it. So what's going on is it's the Fort Bend County, the county clerk's office. That's a suburban county outside of Houston. And the county clerk is retiring, so it's an open seat, and there are two candidates. One is an America First, MAGA kind of a gal, pretty strident anti-communist. And the other one is a gal by the name of J.J. Clement, which is an anglicized form of her name that she's taken. Her Chinese name is Zhang Jingjing. And so she is... she was born in China. She got her bachelor's in China and then moved to the United States and got an MBA, got a master's degree. And she's a forensic accountant and does auditing as a profession. So, and she's done a lot of volunteering for Republican candidates. She has been on the staff for a couple of Republican congressmen. She was the treasurer for the county Republican Party. So she's got a lot of seemingly conservative bona fides.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up showing up in her record is a lot of ties to CCP, Chinese Communist Party front groups. And these are these neighborhood associations, these Chinese service centers and neighborhood associations. And this goes back to 2020, when the Trump administration shut down the Chinese consulate in Houston because of rampant spying and industrial espionage that they were carrying on. It was filled with officials from the Chinese Communist Party that were establishing relationships all around the area and stealing trade secrets and doing other sort of human intelligence gathering operations, like, you know, just profiling folks and gathering data and that sort of thing. And they had a direct tie to the Chinese diaspora living in the Houston area. Mm-hmm. So these community centers and these neighborhood associations function as a two-way conduit with the Chinese Communist Party back in mainland China. So what they do is they will, folks will be invited to come back to mainland China to come to report to the motherland on everything they've learned about American culture. And it's touted as sort of like a cultural exchange, economic exchange at times, but it really ends up being used by the military as intelligence gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the flip side, these Chinese service centers and neighborhood associations also push out pro-CCP messages, like, you know, if there's a pro-Taiwanese independence demonstration, you should go demonstrate against them. Anything that's pro economic ties with the CCP, you should advance that as a public policy. It's that sort of thing. It's a propaganda conduit, and it's a conduit for influencing public policy. And J.J. Clements, the Chinese candidate for this county clerk's position, has been deeply involved in all of these things. She's been involved in these Chinese service centers for a couple of decades. This goes back again. I did an article last year on Lindy Lee, who is a former bundler for the Biden campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she, within like 5 minutes of the election being called for Donald Trump in 2024, she switched to being a MAGA Republican and talking about how the Democratic Party left her. She didn't leave the Democratic Party, but she can't articulate a single pro-Trump policy that she supports. You know, so she's an obvious influence peddler, I guess, is the nicest way of saying it. Propagandist, or, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing for certain. So it's the same kind of thing with J.J. Clements. Is, you know, she's involved in organizations with direct ties to the Chinese Communist Party on the mainland that are pushing pro-China policies and pushing pro-China propaganda, pro-Xi Jinping propaganda. Xi Jinping himself has praised these Chinese community centers that they've set up throughout the world. There are around four dozen of them, including seven in the United States, one of which is in Houston. In fact, when the consulate was shut down in 2020, the Houston Chinese Service Center basically took over all consular functions and now runs them unofficially, because it's not allowed to be an official government program. But they run all the same, you know, passport verification and setting up cultural exchanges, the whole bit. So this is a real problem, because the county clerk in Texas has access to sensitive personal information, voter rolls, you know, the whole bit. And so it's a real demonstration of how the Chinese Communist Party is infiltrating American society and gathering intel in ways that look on the surface to be innocent, but are just gathering more information and building this gigantic intel database that they are going to use against the United States when they feel they need to.
So you know that if that's happening in Houston, that's got to be happening all over. One of the things that caught my eye was that, of course, she's running as a Republican, but she's pretty tight with U.S. Representative Al Green, who we all remember from his bad behavior and trying to deny quorum during the redistricting. But then more recently, the Representative Gene Wu, who came out with that statement, where is it? Oh, the day the Latino, African American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day that we start winning, because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and do what is needed for everyone and make things fair.
Yeah, that's gotten a lot of play here recently.
Very recently.
For obvious reasons. And of course, you know, the Democrats are out there saying, well, that's not, you're just, you know, creating red meat for MAGA Republicans. It's not really what he said, blah, blah, blah. You know,
but it is what he said, because it's a video.
Yeah. And so he came out and said, well, you know, I wasn't talking about everybody. I was just talking about the MAGA Republicans that are trying to deny people their rights, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But this Gene Wu fella is really something, man. He's the Democratic minority leader in the House of Representatives, state yeah. House of Representatives in Texas. He's the guy that led the Democrats to leave the state to avoid the redistricting vote and deny mm-hmm. quorum. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he is as anti-American as you can get. He is pro-Chinese Communist Party. He has worked with all sorts of CCP officials. He doesn't hide it. J.J. Clements, you mentioned, she's palling around with these Democrats. Gene Wu is really bad. Al Green's the guy that disrupted the joint address to Congress by Trump and had to be removed from the chamber.
It was unbelievably bad behavior from Green.
Yeah, no, he's a piece of work, man. he's as bad as Maxine Waters, just getting up there and ranting and raving and not making any damn sense at all. these are the people that J.J. Clements counts as friends, and yet she also has significant support from the Republican establishment in Texas, and they've come out hard in her defense. Without any sort of, you know, proof, just saying, oh, this is xenophobia and the people that are bringing this up are you know, anti-immigrant or whatever. It doesn't make any sense, because a lot of this stuff, especially, you know, a lot of the stuff that I reported on came from Chinese expats who are vehemently opposed to the Chinese Communist Party and Xi Jinping, and don't want to see somebody like that in the having power.
Well, and the more that they come out and say it, you get the those accusations thrown at you on that. And I know that a lot of the people that you talk to are very well connected and know exactly what's going on. The other tie that caught my thing that caught my eye in the article was the sister city relationship. Now, having been part of that, in Oregon and Salem, the city of Salem has a couple. I know they have a sister city in South Korea, one in India, which I believe is Salem, India, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure the mustache will correct me. Also, they have one in Japan. But those are things, you have sister city relationships with allies, because you're right, you're sending educators over, politicians, business people. You're trading and talking back and forth. They come to visit us. So what about this
setting
one?
Setting up economic relationships.
Economic,
Right. So this is the reason this is an important aspect of this story is that Texas passed a law in 2025. It took effect September 1st mm-hmm. that you cannot have a sister city relationship with any city that is in a country that is a global adversary of the United States. And they specifically list North Korea, Iran, mm-hmm. Pakistan, and China, and I think a couple of others. The fact that China is specifically outlawed now, and the language of the bill was very clear. Not only are you not allowed to establish new relationships, but you have to sever the old ones. And Fort Bend County has not ever severed its relationship with its sister city, Nanjing, in Bengbu province in China. That's the reason that this is a big deal, is because J.J. Clements has also been brought back to the mainland of China to as part of the sister city relationship. So she's reporting back to CCP officials and talking about her situation, and then they're out there going and spreading propaganda, you know, favorable to J.J. Clements, favorable to the CCP. And they, the other aspect of this that's very troubling is that they use WeChat, which is a Chinese Communist Party owned all in one app. It's a social app that they use. It's basically their way of electronically registering for their social credit score. So it's social media, it's messaging, it's payment, it's the ability to enter into government buildings, the whole thing. Like they use it to be able to enter school, everything. So WeChat is a wholly owned company of the Chinese Communist Party that, and I've got messages in that story where J.J. Clements is saying one thing to her Chinese supporters and another thing entirely when she does English language statements.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty clear that there's a lot of questions that she refuses to answer about her relationship with the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, and you have to look because of there's continued influence throughout the United States and a lot of ties with the Democrat Socialists of America, number one of whom is Zoran Mondani, of course, but also self-avowed on the Portland City Council. At least four or five of them. I forget the name, what they call their little group there. But so they have ties to the Peacock Group. So it should be of concern that even here in the Pacific Northwest, to pay attention to these things.
Well, Newsweek, of all places, had a story recently about the Democratic Socialists of America wanting to establish ties, direct ties with the CCP and work on issues together that they agree on.
Hey, well, there you go. Wow. Okay, let's go. Wow, there's a lot to digest here. And I will link this article up in our show notes when we put the show out. We're gonna take our last break. We're gonna have a short segment with Jeff to wrap up, and then we will we'll move on to our, I don't know what we're gonna call it now. I'm now not gonna say what I was gonna say. So we'll figure that out. Again, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds, senior editor, restoration-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
Alrighty, welcome back. We're closing out our broadcasting week, our broadcasting hour, chatting with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. One of the things we've been hearing about, too, kind of making noise that the Trailblazers may or may not be leaving Portland. I just heard the Seattle Seahawks are for sale. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Bears, they're moving out of Chicago. They're building a stadium in Indiana. What?
The fun of sports.
Yeah, you know what? The Bears and the Trailblazers are an interesting case.
Yeah.
Seattle is unlikely to lose the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I don't have any special insight.
The Seahawks scenario is a little different because Paul Allen owned the Seahawks. He passed away, 5 years ago now, and it's been in a trust run by his daughter with the long-term forecast
sister.
To the event or sister to eventually she would sell it, Judy Allen. So this is really more capitalizing on, they're probably never going to have more value than they have after winning the Super Bowl than anything else.
Right. The Trailblazers are in the same boat though. They're also owned by the Paul Allen Trust. So
and Kotek is making noises about renovating the Moda Center, which a lot of people, and of course, I don't think the woman can post anything on social media and get positive responses. The ratios are always delicious, but a lot of people are like, well, that helps Portland, but what about the rest of the state? I mean, but it's interesting. They're all blue cities and they're potentially losing these big profit centers, sports
teams. And that was, that was the point I was driving at earlier, is that Seattle is actually, you know, for all of its problems, and Washington mm-hmm. State has lots of problems, mm-hmm. Seattle is a fairly healthy city with a lot of financial diversity in its economy. You've got large corporations that are still there, even though yeah. you know, Boeing has left, and but you still have Microsoft, you still have Amazon, although
Amazon.
They've kind of moved some of their stuff out, yeah. right? But you've got enough financial infrastructure there to support a professional sports franchise. And that's what it takes to keep a franchise in a city. And it really is kind of a proxy indication of the health of a city, is whether yeah. or not it can support this kind of thing with things like, you know, luxury boxes and suites and the corporate sponsorships and all of that stuff you need to make a team profitable. On the flip side, this is why I think Blazers are not long for Portland, because Portland is a dead city.
Yes, it is.
There is nothing going on downtown. Corporations are leaving. You know, it was almost 10 years ago at this point that Standard Insurance left and moved its headquarters out of state. It used to be an anchor in downtown Portland. What else? I mean, what else is there? I mean, they just tried to open a Ritz-Carlton hotel in downtown Portland, and it failed before it even opened.
Yeah. Restaurants are failing left and right.
Yeah. Wells Fargo moved out of downtown. And was it U.S. Bank? Yeah, it was U.S. Bank, because the U.S. Bank tower.
Big Pink?
It sold for 8% of its original value.
Yeah. An area around the Moda Center. If people aren't willing and they don't feel safe, they're not going to show up.
Well, the Moda Center has always been a problem anyway.
Yes.
It's impossible to park down there. And the traffic is ridiculous because they didn't build enough road infrastructure because they hate cars. Right. So, but anyway, it's an almost 30-year-old stadium now. It requires some upgrades to make it competitive with the other arenas in the NBA. And so now they go begging to the taxpayers, and the legislature has to cough up $600 million. And you know, we'll see if they seem confident they can make that happen. But in the meantime, there's not enough corporate support in downtown Portland or the Portland area to support a major sports franchise. And that's where the Blazers are more similar to the Bears. The mm-hmm. Bears, I mean, you know, Chicago's still doing great, but cost of building a new stadium is so prohibitively high in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois that they're going over to their neighbor,
just
Red
crossing
State,
the border.
Indiana.
Yep. Yep. I just think we're going to see more of that. And again, even with Chicago, I haven't been to Chicago since 1994.
Yeah,
it's been a while. And I felt safe back then. But so it's going to be interesting to follow those. What are we? We're almost out of time here on our mm-hmm. broadcast hour.
That's right. So you got to stick around and get the podcasts when they come out in a little while so we can get a little bonus time in here.
We're going to have a little bonus time with Jeff and dig in. I've got some really interesting, the poly market, the betting markets on the Oregon primary, Republican primary, and the Oregon gubernatorial race. Kind of digging into the poly markets, the Kalshi. That is super interesting. We're going to dig a little bit into that. So mm-hmm. again, we have been talking with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. That's it for us this week on the broadcast. So you guys have a great weekend. We will see you next week. Join us on the other side.
Say bye to the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.